Paper May, what's going on, buddy?
It's going real good, you know. I'm feeling good today. Yeah. I'm feeling really nice today, you know, okay. And that's kind of odd for this climate right now.
It is. It's cloudy outside. I'm actually not feeling good. I'm feeling really down. No.
What's up?
I am really upset. The strength of the Black Panther has been stripped away.
Oh, no.
My boy Chadwick. He's no longer with us, man.
Yeah, I did hear about that. My brother actually called me in the middle of the night. I feel like it was 12 or something like that. And I was picking something up from the store and he called me. And I'm like, what is he doing? Mm. And then he said that Chadwick had passed. And I said, oh, my God, what? Yeah. How? And then he told me that he passed of colon cancer and stuff. And then he told me that he was originally diagnosed with 3 and then he moved to like stage 5 or something like
stage
that.
Stage 5 what?
Cancer.
Yeah, okay. I think it was like colon cancer.
So yeah, it was colon cancer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was just like, at that point, you know, it was explained like he knew that it was coming. Mm-hmm. And I'm really glad that he got the opportunity to do as much as he did prior to.
Yeah.
So that he could, you know, really express himself, get all his work in, and be a part of so many
interesting projects. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. He definitely so many projects.
Put a lot of work in, and he gave a lot to us. You know,
with the time that he had left. So yeah,
so he definitely put his all into it.
So. Exactly. So it is all what right, it. Right. That's why we take care of ourselves as much as we can. But with the time that we have, we live the best that we can.
You just gotta do it. All right.
So you ready for this episode?
I feel a little
though
about that. Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Let's start this episode.
Black Hypothesis.
Hey everybody, this is V. Langston Jules
and Paper Mae,
and we are Black Hypothesis.
STEM for the culture. So today I have my friend, my very good friend, Simone said so. I'm so glad that she's here today.
Hello. Hi, everyone. I'm so excited.
Hello.
We are definitely excited to have you here because I've been looking forward to talking about IT and just the diversity that we can introduce to the field. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm waiting for us Black women to take over because we just don't have that understanding of how we can involve ourselves in that industry and how we can be kind of like more incorporated into the systematic expression of what is what we need.
Okay.
Yes, yes. And so I really appreciate you, Paper Mae. And you, the Langston Jules, for allowing this type of platform to happen for just Black professionals and young professionals who are possibly thinking of moving forward. Because I don't feel like I had this when I was getting started or just
for
coming
sure
up. So this is a really good platform to, if you're
thank
curious,
you
if you're
thank
curious,
you
you can figure it out. If you're curious, you can just listen. If you know what you already want to do, maybe there's something you want to do different.
So exactly.
I love this.
That's what it's thank all you about. It's all, right, it's about
putting
the exposure,
on
you know?
People on, you
put
know,
us
that's
on
what I'm trying to do.
I have to say, I had no clue about some of the opportunities that were in STEM or right like the fact that I would even enjoy it if I deviated from what I thought I wanted to do originally or not. So
right.
That's the point of this, exactly.
It's so important. I appreciate this.
Cool. So Simone said so. Why don't you tell us like a little bit more about yourself? Let the people know who you are and who we're chatting with today.
Okay. So I am Simone said so, and I am currently an implementation project manager.
Okay.
I work with software companies pushing their software and their products to clients and, you know, doing that implementation process that many companies sometimes miss.
Okay.
All right. Because there's cool a difference between having a technology And being a corporation that wants to use that technology, it's just like, okay, there's a step there in which the corporation learns how to implement the technology they want into what they're already doing.
And I can tell you from firsthand experience, if that transition isn't smooth and it's not like handled it's the right way, it is a disaster.
Yeah, exactly. And okay. That's why you need people like me.
A bloodbath.
Yes, it is really bad, I'll tell you. I'm actually dealing with some clients right now that I'm like,
oh. Which ones? What's the names? You can say the names. Come on, no one's listening. It's just us three right here. We're just talking.
You're right. It might be a bloodbath if it's not done the right way. So, just saying.
Really, though. And so, one of the things that I think would probably be, because I think, especially just personally, when we think about things that we want to implement in our lives, there is a point that we're just like, okay, I'm really going to do it this time. I'm going to do it. I'm going to make this happen for myself. And if you think about the difficulty of that happening personally, then you can think about how much more difficult it would be if it was multiple people, multiple departments, and you're just like, I'm trying to enact this huge change.
Yes.
Right? And it has to do with technology. And when you also think about the differences in age range.
Oh, my God. Don't get me started. Because
when you start working, it's not just people like you. It's people that have, you know, totally different experiences, totally different, you know, academic backgrounds and all of that. They know different things. They've felt and gone through different things. So
but do they know tech? How to use it?
Some people pretend like they do.
So I think that's like a really good, you know, segue into just my experience with my implementation career. So I started off in health IT.
Yeah. Okay.
And, you know, you mentioned like working with people and health and just their different backgrounds of, you know, age and their expertise with tech. And so working in health IT, I work for a software company that pushed the software for gastroenterologists, and I worked with doctors, right? And so while they are prestige in what they do, some doctors are not okay with change and change from going from one place to another.
Hey, not to cut you off, sorry, but for those in the room that don't understand these big words, right. I guess just me, what is a gastroenterologist and what is health IT?
Okay, so a gastroenterologist, from what I understand, is someone who, a doctor who deals with the digestive tract. They do and perform EGDs and colonoscopies and let you know what's going on in, you know, down there and, you know, through your like esophagus and all of these parts of your body that you won't necessarily see a primary physician for.
Okay.
So they specialize in procedures like that or just areas in your body like that.
Okay.
Health IT, I would say, is exactly what it is. Health information technology.
Yeah.
So I worked in health IT where allowed doctors to transfer over from paper to electronic medical record. So yeah.
Okay.
I love that so much because when it comes to hospital management or when it comes to administration, we love e-medical records. Right. We love non-paper. I adore non-paper.
All right.
And I think it does matter, like the age, like we talked about, and what your experience is, because for people around my age and in my generation, we love e-everything.
It's so easy.
We want e-everything. We want everything to be fast and quick and easy. So from paper charts to e-medical records is one that's difficult because it does incorporate like everyone being on the same page and it may incorporate some discomfort because when you think about specialists, they've taken a long time to learn what they learned,
right?
They're not young, they're, you know what I mean? They tend to be older. So they are used to that whole paper charting system and you have to kind of push them into this place in which they're not as comfortable as they were, and it can be difficult at times. And yes. So that implementation, that showing them how to transition from one mode to another, I can only imagine how difficult that would be.
In my career thus far, working in health IT, and my first real job in IT, that was the most difficult part, but it was so rewarding and fulfilling to walk away from a big, let's say, hospital system or surgery center, and I knew, like, I did that. They now know how to use an electronic.
They know what they know because of me.
I did that. That doctor never, like, did, you know, paper records for his entire career, and now he knows how to do an electronic report, and that is just so cool to see that. And yeah. Doctors are interesting people.
They are.
I respect them. They're amazing. But, you know, with tech, they're so interesting. You know, you just allowing them, and, you know, I kind of saw them sometimes as like, okay, how would you deal with your mom who's not really interested in tech, but she has to learn how to use her cell phone?
Wow, that's crazy.
You know, doctors are not really interested in an electronic medical record, but they have to learn.
Okay, so take us back a little bit. At the beginning of the journey, right? I'm assuming you went to a college or a university. Mm-hmm. Were you planning on majoring in IT when you started?
Absolutely not. I was not planning on majoring in IT. I originally started at Middlesex County College. Mm-hmm. I was a poli-sci, political science major. And, you know, I graduated with that. I got scholarships while I was there. And I also, in high school, I was so interested in poli-sci and politics and just, like, community and civics and all of this, that type of, like, industry knowledge. Mm-hmm. I had a, like, internship with the Eagleton, with Barbara Buono. She ran for New Jersey, the new governor of New Jersey. And so we worked under her in our senior year in high school. And so that's why I decided to continue and further my, major in politics and political science.
Oh, cool. Did she win?
She did not.
Oh. Okay, so now you're at Rutgers, and I remember back when you said you were in that women's and politics program that you were one of two Black people. Give us a picture of how that looked in your classes in IT, right? This whole color spectrum, which is only like 3 or 4 colors. Like, how many, you know, were you still one of two back then, or was it, you know, were all your homegirls there?
Right. I wish all my homegirls were there, but the truth is that it didn't change. There were still one of many or one of others, right? So I don't feel like I was a part of a larger representation of Black women, Black men in the classrooms. So, you know, it was just, you know, just a lot of other colors, but not Black people. So I would say white people, lots of East Asian or Asian. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that
so
is
so there'd expected. Be like there'd be like 2 Black people in the class, or like 3.
I'd be happy if I saw at least 5, but maybe 2 to.
But it was a big class.
5 it's, out of how many?
I would say 3. Let's say 3 out of 40.
Okay. Yeah. That's pretty small.
But is that 10. Surprising though, considering how not much we talk about, honestly, like,
but
tech,
still hurts, you know, to hear.
It's not surprising.
It still hurts to hear though.
And was it the same for professors too?
I think
did you ever have a Black or professor of color in any of the IT classes?
Negative. Very small amount. Like, I don't remember having a Black professor in any of my IT course classes.
Okay. All right. Cool. My experience is actually very much the same. So, but all right. So now you're at Rutgers. You're one of 3 Black people out of 50 people.
And we
total.
graduate. Yeah.
You got your diploma.
We got our diploma, by the way, which was an amazing experience because President Barack Obama was a speaker at our commencement address.
Say it one more time.
President Barack Obama was a speaker at our commencement address, our graduation ceremony.
And one more time for the people in the back.
President Barack Obama spoke to us directly in front of us on the stage.
I just wanted to make sure they can hear what you said.
And we will never forget.
Thank you.
So, wait, who was that your commencement speech? I missed that.
When President Barack Obama.
Hello.
It was amazing. It was amazing.
One of
those moments that experience. You'll never forget.
Yeah.
And also, I don't let people forget it.
I bring it up whenever I get the chance.
Of course, yeah.
So vote to impress.
Yes.
That's basically what he said.
Vote to impress.
You have to vote for the person who's going to build the kind of society that you want to live in. So don't ever forget that. So next.
We have that opportunity this year. This little side plug.
Yes, so we do. Plug.
Actually, this year is more like vote or die. Just saying.
Vote or die.
Fucking literally.
Okay.
All right. So you graduated. President Barack Obama was at your commencement speech. He talked directly to you. He told you to vote and impress.
He spoke to me.
Now that day is over. Now it's time for you to get that bag, right? You're trying to like get a job.
Yeah, we are.
Well, how are the career opportunities available to you? Or how many career opportunities were available to you? Or did you find?
So this is a good question. I feel like while I was in college, college at Rutgers University, I joined this organization called Women in ITI, WITI. And I was there for my tenure there. So like, you know, my 2014, 15 and 16, around that time.
Okay.
And so what we did is allow these forums for women to understand what opportunities are available to you. There were a lot of minority women, and it's important because your parents, if you're coming from an immigrant family, they are coming here. And they tell you, oh, there's so many opportunities here for you.
Mm-hmm. And you're like, what?
Yeah, exactly.
What are they?
Exactly. But you don't necessarily know what opportunities, right? So this group allowed me to know that, wow, I can work for Deloitte. I can work for FedEx. I can work for Cintas. I can work for Optimum. I can work for Verizon, Google, obviously. Mm-hmm. I can work for any company Chipotle, literally anything, right?
Yeah.
I can work for the United States of America, like the government. And it was a really, really cool forum, a really good organization that, you know, highlighted the opportunities of where you can be after, you know, post-graduation.
So how did you find your job?
I think it's important to highlight that people should be looking for jobs not when you graduate, but far before then. I would say, you know, six months before, because it takes you on average 6 months to find a job when you're looking for a job. Mm-hmm. Right?
I'd say that.
So don't start looking for a job when you need a job. Yeah. Look for a job before you
And don't just get discouraged when you don't find it in a year. Oh, I mean a month.
Right.
Don't get discouraged when you don't find it in a month or two or three.
Be discouraged. It may take
some time.
It may take a lot of time, which is why I started before graduation.
Yeah.
And so I was looking for jobs months before. And so I ended up finding a job about 1 month, or I guess I had an offer about a month and a half after graduation.
Damn.
And so I was really blessed and really grateful for that time, because I know it could be really hard for others. And so my first job was this small, I would say, startup in health IT. And I really am really excited and happy for me that I was able to find an opportunity like that, because I learned so much. So that's how I found my job on Career Night. I don't really know if they use Career Night anymore, but that's what I found it on.
I think they probably should. Career Night is a career finding or a search engine, career search engine through the university itself.
Well, through the university. So
through Rutgers itself. Many schools have a search engine.
Oh, because Rutgers Nights.
Exactly.
Oh, okay, got it. Okay,
use your, you should, as a, as
you
a
should.
Student, you should use all of the resources that your university provides.
I would say most of the friends that I made at Rutgers, we did find our careers, or the start to our careers, that initial job through that website, okay. through that search engine, because I did as well.
Yes. So okay. on Career Night, that's how I found my yeah. first IT gig or, right. you know, job.
Oh.
So we already know that you don't have to start in IT to end in IT. But what you should also know is that you don't have to be in IT to benefit from IT. I work in the healthcare industry, and I already know that some of the issues that I'm trying to figure out and calling IT to help me out with, I could probably try to troubleshoot on my own. So you should definitely sign up for the Audible trial subscription that we have in our description box below. Go to audibletrial.com/blackhypothesis to learn how to troubleshoot your own issues and give yourself a running start to some of the other career paths that you're already headed on.
That was a great plugin for audibletrial.com/blackhypothesis. I'm so excited right now. And I guess with all this energy, I want to know, since IT is so exciting and all these new developments that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Simone said so. What are some of the present and future developments in IT that you think that's exciting?
For me, what I think that is exciting is the future of cybersecurity.
Sound excited too.
I'm excited about it. What cybersecurity has and what it's shown previously and what is to come. There's so much to develop and so much to learn from.
Yeah.
You may hear a lot of companies having, you know, difficulties with securing your information
yeah,
or securing,
sure.
you know, patient information, whether that be, you know, credit card information. And it's so important. Especially, you know, you can even say cyber in politics, cyber yeah. back into our voting system. And we want to make sure that these things in the future are something that we don't have to really worry about because we know that's secure.
Yeah.
You know, originally we thought our, you know, voting by mail is secure. We thought all of these other, you know, just logging into certain things were, or certain platforms were secure. And we know now that is not the case. And so cyber in itself is something that I believe that's really exciting.
Yeah.
While it's not necessarily new, it is a forming industry. And
yeah.
so we want to make sure that we keep our eye on that.
I have to say, because everything cyber is just so much more appealing because it's easier.
Right.
So it's just like, yeah, you're used to doing things on paper, but doing it online is so much easier. I know that within my healthcare industry, being secure is something that is really important because we have a lot of regulations. There are industries that aren't as regulated,
yes.
but when it comes to dealing with people mm-hmm. and when it comes to dealing with people's health, you
privacy.
Need privacy. Mm-hmm. We have laws that ensure that you need to make sure that people's records and their healthcare records are private and nobody can touch them.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to add for cyber and just really what you were saying about our privacy and having to do with people wanting to come into the cyberspace and not necessarily being in a tech savvy role, right? So mm-hmm. Are these laws, the laws are there, but are they actually doing what they are supposed to do? How can we make these laws so that they are, this is
like enforceable, you know?
Exactly. Like, we have to enforce these laws. There are laws that are there that really, do they even really?
They're just
sitting
there.
Yeah, are they really even doing anything? Because so many cyber, you know, threats are happening and our privacy is being invaded.
Laws already exist
right.
for those things.
And the law is there, but really, how is it protecting us? And so I think it's important to, you know, while you don't want to be in a tech-savvy role, if you don't want to be in a tech-savvy role, how can you enforce these laws? How can you do more with policy? And so that's important.
Okay, so this policy, there's cybersecurity, there's all these other technical skills that you need to, like, you know, kind of be successful in this field. But what would you say are some of the things that you were not taught in school that will also make you successful? You know what I mean? Apart from just the theory and, you know, some of the application as well. What are the soft skills that would you say are very important?
Right. This is so important. How well can you talk through your skills? Mm-hmm. How well can you communicate what is the issue? And so that goes into public speaking.
Yeah.
That is one of my top soft skills that are now becoming, I feel like, a hard skill that you can really find in any field, but I say most importantly within STEM.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know how to talk through their code. You don't know how to talk through your processes on how you found your way to making this resolution, right? So how That's did crazy. You fix our issue? How did right. you fix it?
If you can't explain it to me, yeah. how am I supposed to know?
How can I even believe that it's fixed?
Yeah, yeah. You
know? I know a lot of people who are scared of public speaking.
Yeah.
They're scared of that.
Or just social right. interactions social. In general, too. When it comes to STEM, social interactions can be intimidating for some.
Right. Yeah. And I understand. Maybe you spend a lot of time working on your computer and then you find yourself in an interview not necessarily knowing how you did this. You just did it.
Mm-hmm.
In the workplace, you're not really focused on, oh, can I tell Tim and John how I should be able to, you know, explain what I just did, but it's more about I actually did my job. I fixed it, and that should be it.
Yeah, I honestly feel like I'm like one of those people that can't articulate themselves it's hard. Very well.
It really is hard. I may be too. I'm not gonna lie. I might be,
but it is. Yeah. And you can be this, but it's very important to like get that skill right because you could be the smartest person in the room, but yep. if you cannot articulate
talk about it.
That to other people and make them understand. It does not matter.
It doesn't it's matter.
It doesn't matter because they don't know you're smart, and also it's not. It's not enough just to be smart by yourself. You need right. to be able to
share the wealth,
communicate and convey that same information to other people so we can all be on the same page. You know what I mean?
The number one hard skill is public speaking. You need to be able to present. You need to speak in a group. Mm-hmm. You need to be able to just explain what you did and how you did it.
Okay.
Simone, you mentioned to me actually off recording that you were working offsite and from home before the COVID pandemic even became the issue that it is today. So what do you think is one of the primary skills revolved around that, that those who want to get themselves involved in the field should know?
Right. So I started a new job last August and I was able to fortunately work from home throughout the entire week. And so it wasn't much of a transition to working from home during COVID. But I will say for those who are, you know, working from home because of COVID, it is important to be a self-starter. And you'll see that on a lot of job postings. And you want to make sure that within these job postings that you understand what a self-starter is. You know, you don't have someone coming into your desk and checking up on, are you doing what you need to do?
So what would you say to those who want to get into the IT industry or want to study IT, but they're thinking, you know, oh, I don't know how to code. I'm so scared. I don't know a lot about technology, or I don't want to be that like computer tech person that's like always knowing exactly what to do all the time. Do you have to know everything?
You don't. And what I will say is I feel seen with that question because I don't want to be that person who codes all the time. That's not something that I'm really interested in. And I know a lot of other people want to get into tech and they sometimes may feel intimidated because they don't know how to code. And it's okay. It's all right. There are so many other things you can do within the field. You don't have to know everything. You just have to have an understanding, right? So I don't know how to code, but I have an understanding of how to read code. I know how to write a little script or write a little query if I needed to find the things that I need to find. And that's important. So have that common knowledge, have that understanding, and then you can move forward. I think what is important in tech and not knowing everything, a lot of things are not documented when you get into the field. And so it's important to reach out to your teammates, reach out to your colleagues, your managers, most importantly, and ask questions, find out where you can find certain information. And if you can't find it because documentation is an issue,
mm-hmm.
Be willing to reach out to your teammates to figure it out. Just figure it out with the resources that you do have, and that will be your teammates and your colleagues.
Yeah. And figuring it out could be fun. Sometimes it's like the puzzle pieces, like matching it all together. If figuring your way out can be fun sometimes if you're that kind of person that wants to be a problem solver.
That's okay. So I feel like 2020 has been the fastest, slowest, craziest, mind-boggling year.
Tell me about it.
In the history of this planet. Maybe over not it. True, but at least in the past like 20 years. Where do you see yourself in 2021? Assuming all the fuck shit ends December 31st. Yeah.
So me personally, I do not think all the fuck shit will end. Mm. I do feel like there may be a continued issue or just continued problems of what we're seeing right now, or just like reality of what we're seeing right now. And I am gearing myself up to continue working from home and also continuing to just figure out how I can manage myself and gear up my own skills for the next year. And so most importantly for me, I want to pivot from just regular implementation into cyber or cloud. And so cloud security, cloud architecture. And so that is where my next year I would like to focus and move into.
Okay, best of luck. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I like that pivot.
A pivot. Still in IT, but, you know, working your way into other fields.
And that's what a career ends up being, honestly. It's pivoting continuously. You have to be that kind of person that understands that a lifelong learning journey is okay and it's good. If you want to keep developing your career, if you want to keep growing in your industries, you're always going to have to learn. MDs and in the health industry, you're required to keep learning. Every year you have to put in a certain amount of hours of learning.
Right. And it's definitely scary. I will say it's super scary to learn something within an industry that changes all the time. I'm scared sometimes, like, oh, I don't know this, but let me just figure it out, or, you know, so it's important to just be open-minded and throw yourself in when you can.
Yeah. But to me, that's a good thing too. It's evidence of the fact that you chose a good career. The fact that it requires you to continue learning, it's because it's going to be relevant for a really long time. So you got to keep up.
That was my goal when I switched majors.
Exactly.
So I'm thinking back to when you were talking about your career path and the soft and hard skills that you needed to succeed in your professional life. It makes me remember that some of these skills can be transferred into your personal and familial life as well. So there's this book I've been reading called 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. There's a lot of practical advice you can use to start shifting your thinking by taking an emotional inventory of your life and what you're doing or feeling every day. The author also takes you down the path of his own life and how he had to change his mindset, because although he wasn't a professional executive coach, a lot of things he implemented in his life or family life didn't work. And he was alienating his own son. But he gets everything back in a good place. So you guys and the listeners should definitely check that out. And if you don't have the time to read or you just don't like it, luckily we have Audible. Sign up for a free 30-day trial on audibletrial.com/blackhypothesis and let us know what you think. Okay, Simone said so. Time for the final question.
Uh-huh.
We have reached the peak of our journalistic journey. And it's time for you to dig down, dig deep.
Not the peak.
All right. We've reached the peak.
Okay.
And here's our hardest question you'll probably ever have to answer.
It's so hard.
What are your hobbies and what do you like to do for fun in your spare time?
Okay. In my spare time, I found myself becoming a plant mom. I am a mother. I'm a mother to many plants.
Okay.
Some of them, I would say I have a Chinese evergreen.
Okay.
I have some Monstera plants, a Monstera adenosi, and I have an orchid. I have an Alocasia poly.
Oh, shit.
please Google these plants if you don't know. They are really nice plants.
I want to say I've only heard of one of these plants so far, and one of them is an orchid, and that is the hardest fucking thing I've ever had to keep alive.
They're so hard.
I just can't do it.
Well, you actually haven't experienced hard and dramatic plants until you've had a basil plant. Have you ever had a basil plant?
No, if it's harder than an orchid, I don't want to.
Oh, man, basil plants are the worst. I actually kind of hate basil plants. You have to tend to them every day, water them all the time. And then they sometimes get really sad, and then you water them a little bit, and they're like back up. It's horrible. So
sound needy as fuck.
I've become a plant mom.
Do you talk to them, and do they have names? And if they do have names, what are they?
They don't have names right now because I do have a little more than I can actually bear. Mm-hmm. So I'm just focused on keeping them alive. I will name them eventually. But I do play music. I do look at them and like, look at you this morning. This is amazing. So, you know, I have photos and I'm working on making a new Plantstagram. And so I will share that on my Instagram, Simone Said So. Another one of my hobbies are tending to my natural hair.
Okay.
So while that may not be a hobby to other people, you know,
that is a full-time job for others. That is
a full-time job. And what's most amazing about working from home during COVID is that I have the time to do it. I used to travel for work originally and as a consultant and working in health IT. Then I used to work in New York and I don't have time to wake up every morning and do my hair. So now that I'm working from home since August, I can do anything I want to my hair. I can figure it out. Yeah, and right. That is one of my hobbies right now.
Okay.
Figuring out what works for my hair, what doesn't work, what products I need to use. It's awesome.
Okay. And good on you for that.
Okay, cool, cool.
Period.
We actually had an episode, one of our previous ones, on black hair. So thanks for bringing that back.
Because it is harder than it seems that it should be. Yeah.
And while it shouldn't be a hobby, it is a hobby. Figure it out. It's hard.
Okay, so Simone Said So. It was great to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for coming.
We learned so much about the soft skills that you need. Okay, about cybersecurity, health IT, gastroenterologists, which I should probably make an appointment for now that I know that they exist.
You should definitely do that. It's important.
And if any of the listeners have any questions and they think, I want to hit her up, like Simone says, where can they reach out to you and where can they find you?
A few places. You can find me on LinkedIn at Simone Reddy. You can also find me on Instagram at Simone Said So. You can just email me at SimoneReddy@gmail.com, or you can also find me on Twitter. I love Twitter. Twitter is where I actually live. Amongst all these other places, I really enjoy Twitter. So.
She's on all the socials, everybody. All the socials.
Except for Facebook. Crazy people live on Facebook. Just saying. Find me on Twitter. I love Twitter. So it's Live Love Simone on Twitter. But, Simone Reddy on Facebook and Simone Reddy on LinkedIn. And also Simone Said So on Instagram. Okay.
Okay. Cool. All right. Thank you for coming out and
hope you
guys enjoyed this episode. I think it was really great and make sure that, you know, you were able to have, you know, some other dialogues about IT. And I just hope that, you know, these future classes, if you go back to Rutgers in 10 years and that class is like 50%
black. I hope so, too.
Women,
that'd be great.
We got to fill it up.
That's what we need.
Fill
it up.
We're in the room. That's what this is about. We're getting in the room.
This is part of the takeover plot right now.
We got to do it.
The takeover IT. All right. So thank you for coming once again. This is great. And we hope to have you back some other time. Thank you guys for listening. Wakanda forever.
Whoa. The Langston Hughes and Paper Maid. Thank you.
Simone Reddy.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Black Hypothesis. You can find us on all available streaming platforms. So be sure to subscribe. If you like this episode, give us 5 stars. Follow us at Black Hypothesis on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. And if you'd like to reach out concerning any ideas for the show, critiques, or requests to appear as a guest on the show, then just send us an email at blackhypothesis@gmail.com. Join the hype.